morning. From America's newest fine restaurant, Tom Brenneman's on Vine Street between Hollywood and Sunset Boulevard, Kellogg's, Pep, and Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes serve you breakfast in Hollywood. Friends, now that the star of our program has just finished one motion picture, every studio in Hollywood is besieging him with offers. But he's playing hard to get. Well, maybe it's due to modesty, or maybe it's just due to the meat shortage, for as we all know, ham is hard to get nowadays. And here he is, Tom Brenneman.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I ask you greetings to you out there along the network. Howdy from the ladies having breakfast in Hollywood, a radio program. Well, it says so right here. Incidentally, as Johnny told you, it's also a motion picture. Same title, by strange coincidence, Breakfast in Hollywood. Motion picture, Golden production, produced by Bob Golden, directed by Hal Schuster, starring Bonita Granville, Beulah Bondi, Billy Burke, Zazu Pitts, Raymond Walburn, Eddie Ryan, Andy Russell, Spike Jones, and his City Slickers, and the famous King Cole Trio. Of course, I'm in it, too. In fact, there ain't nobody in this picture but us stars. Well, if that's not a picture plug, I've never heard one. We'll have more to say about the picture a little later. But now, we're getting into the Ivory Flakes portion of our little broadcast, and we kind of like to visit along about now. And I don't know, I think maybe we'll start with you this morning. Who are you?
Mrs. R.D. Smith from Los Angeles.
Hello, Miss Smith.
How do you
You're
do?
Lieutenant Smith?
That's right.
You've been around there some, sir.
A little bit, yes.
What's your first name?
Russell.
Russell Smith. And you are?
Mrs. Gabrielle Lucasen.
Mm-hmm.
From Bismarck, North Dakota.
And Captain?
Captain Lucasen?
Yes. Hey, where's your home, Smith?
Ridgeway, Illinois.
You're from Ridgeway, Illinois?
Originally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
California now.
You're from California?
Yeah.
Well, you're smart. And who are you, please?
Payne, Illinois.
Louise
Boutin.
No, don't coach her. She'll remember her own name. What's your name?
Louise what?
Boutin.
Louise Boutin. From where in Illinois?
Payne, Illinois.
Uh-huh. What part of the state is that, Miss Boutin?
What do you call it?
Well, we'll get back to you a little later. You'll remember it in a moment. Meanwhile, we'll meet some of our boys here. Give your hometown first name.
I'm Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Radium and First Class Warren Strawsnyder.
Good.
Bellarmine, New York. Ensign E.J. Dowling.
Thank you, Ensign.
Norwalk, Ohio. Private First Class Al Swartz.
Mm-hmm. Madison, Ohio. Private Eleanor Greer.
Hmm?
Madison, Ohio. PFC Calvin Greer.
Are you a man and wife?
Brother.
No.
Brother and sister. Oh, nice.
Reading Center, New York. Farmers Made First Class, Horace Webster.
Weymouth, Mass. Home and Dyson, Radium and Third.
Right in there, fellas. You?
Dickinson, North Dakota. Bud Knapp, Seaman Second Class.
Mm-hmm.
Boston, Mass. T5, Etta Campbell.
Yes, you.
Corporal Hatfield, Riverside, Utah.
Yes. Hello there.
Jamestown, New York. Sergeant George Fosbury.
Mm-hmm. You?
Jamestown, New York. Elmer Fosbury, Farmers Made Second Class.
Hello there. Who are you?
Josephine Seidel, Yeoman Third Class.
Mm-hmm. Where's your home?
Rural, New Mexico.
What?
Navy Seagull, Yeoman Second Class, Boston, Mass.
Mm-hmm. Major?
Portland, Oregon. Major Don Anderson.
Good. We're going to meet some more of them in a moment. Right now, I want everybody in uniform to please stand. Come on your feet, boys and girls. We want to give them a good welcome. And let them out. Good luck. Thank you. Who are you?
Pat McKay, North Hollywood.
Pat McKay?
Mm-hmm.
Is your hearing good?
Not bad.
She isn't either. Well, I want you to listen to a popular song. Have you ever heard the song called Push the Elephant's Tusk in the Electric Fan? We need more ivory flakes. I haven't heard that either. Silly. Anyhow, I think ivory flakes are more precious than the most valuable ivory tusks. And everyone knows those thin ones. They're the flake form of pure, mild ivory soap. But to get back to songs, there's one worth repeating. Charlie, see if you can guess what I'm thinking of.
You couldn't mean anything but this, Tom.
No.
Here's the story of a girl who found the answer to her prayer in a soap called Ivory Place. This maiden found her pretty clothes, gave up to twice the wear when she washed them oh so gently in Ivory Place. Was that it, Tom?
Yes, but it was almost on the wrong network. You mind my saying? Go ahead, Charlie. Wait a minute. Go ahead, I'll join you in the chorus.
Ivory Place, twice the wear. Ivory Place, twice the wear.
Next stop for Charlie is, and me is the Metropolitan. Now, your next stop should be the store where you get a blue and white box of Ivory Flakes. Wash tests made on sweaters and blouses showed they gave up to twice the wear when washed gently in Ivory Flakes. So be careful never to wash things the wrong way with the wrong kind of soap. You'll be well repaid if you stick exclusively to gentle Ivory Flakes care. When nice things are given to that kind of treatment, well, how will they come out, Charlie?
They'll be lovely to look at, and all it takes is that ever-loving care with Ivory Flakes.
Thank you, Chaz. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, we want you to listen to another Procter & Gamble show, A Dandy Too. That's my old friend Cliff Arquette's Glamour Man. We're going for a hat right now.
Tom, did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Model right there with a sweeping feather?
I haven't had a chance to see any of them. Oh, this one? Well, let's try it. Who are you?
Mrs. Carl Holt in Annapolis, Indiana.
Well, let's have it, Miss Holt. Who are you, honey?
Marty Neal, Lancaster, Ohio.
From Lancaster, Ohio. Three Musketeers, Marty. This is kind of a half a hat, and it has a bluebird that comes down in a long plume over the back. Will you wait till I get it on, please? There we go, kids. You can have it back, honey. It's shedding. I said a few moments ago, this is quite a day for us here in Breakfast in Hollywood. I'm as jittery as an expectant father awaiting his first child. See? Today is the day the boys and gals of the press, the newspapers and magazine critics, get a first squint at the picture Breakfast in Hollywood. In fact, right now, I'm told, the Normandy Theater in New York is full of them. And tonight in Hollywood, the same thing will be going on here at the Hollywood Music Hall. Now, look, you dear, kind, lovely people of the press. You fine, charitable folks. You handsome fellows and beautiful gals who criticize pictures. You will remember I'm raising a big family, won't you? You know, my kids get hungry along about the latter part of the month. The mortgage is soon due, and I make another income tax payment next week. Keep these things in mind as you view my efforts. The rest of the cast, well, their records speak for themselves. But this is my first venture into the land of pictures. Of course, I want you to be fair. Not too fair. You folks that make up the personnel of the United Artists Film Exchanges throughout the country, believe me, I love you all dearly. When you're in Hollywood and you get hungry, you can come to the Brenneman Beanery, and I'll feed you, and I'll feed you good. Keep these things in mind, won't you, folks, as you view and distribute our picture? I'm not a young man anymore. You wouldn't deliberately shunt a nervous old man into the poorhouse, would you? No. Gosh, I'm melting my own heart. Well, they won't go fall for that gab anyway. Let's send them a cheer, shall we? Hope you like it, folks. Bobby, has Uncle Corny come in? All right, we want to read our good neighbor letter then. Corny's here, and it is a dandy, too.
I hope this good neighbor is listening today. It comes from New York City, and it says, Dear Tom, I wish to nominate for your good neighbor orchid Mr. Robert J. O'Donnell, the general manager of the Interstate Theater Circuit, who resides in Dallas, Texas. Mr. O'Donnell occupies a unique and distinguished position among the showmen of America. And let me give you just a few reasons why I believe he deserves recognition as a good neighbor. He is the national chief barker, or in other words, the active head of the Variety Clubs of America. As you know, the Variety Clubs are humanitarian organizations operating in more than 30 American cities under the leadership of film and theatrical people. And these clubs aid underprivileged children, provide hospital facilities for the needy, buy iron lungs, and engage in a long list of similar activities. As one of the first sponsors of the Variety Clubs, and now as chief barker, Mr. O'Donnell has given generously of his energies to further their wonderful program. In addition, Mr. O'Donnell was Southwest Chairman of the War Activities Committee of the Motion Picture Industry, National Chairman of the Copper Salvage Drive, and General Chairman of the Motion Picture Industry for the Fifth War Loan Drive. He is, in my opinion, a most logical selection as a good neighbor of the day. Yours very sincerely, Martin Quigley, the President of the Quigley Publishing Company, Incorporated, Rockefeller Center, New York City, New York. Very unusual we send a good neighbor orchid to a man, but we are today. To Robert J. O'Donnell, the Interstate Circuit Incorporated, the Majestic Theater Building in Dallas, Texas, goes our orchid this morning. He has been made our good neighbor of the day. Come on, son. Morning, Uncle Corny. How are you today?
Well, I feel fine today, Tommy. I really do. I'm feeling good. Say, did you notice that cute little blonde back there in the corner giving me the eye?
Oh, Corny, give me that. You're old enough to be her pappy.
Eh?
I said you're old enough to be her pappy.
Yeah, her pappy Boyington.
Oh, Corny... You're just not the romantic type, such as I am.
You?
Yes, me. Everyone who went to studio preview of our picture, Breakfast in Hollywood, seems to think I'm quite a romantic star. People came out of that projection room talking about the white hope of Hollywood.
Yeah, they say when Crosby saw the picture, he turned pale, too.
You have a little joke for us, Corny?
Eh?
I said you have a little joke for us this morning.
Yes, I got a joke. Heavens to Betsy. He asks me that every morning.
Well, what's your joke this morning?
Well, you know that most of the critics think you should have been cast as Rhett Butler.
Rhett Butler? Well, why?
Well, after hearing you on the radio, they think you're a natural for Goon with the Wind.
All right, Corny, you stop by and pick up the orchid. It goes to Robert J. O'Donnell in the Majestic Theater Building in Dallas, Texas. You'll take care of it, I'm sure, won't you?
Yes, I'll take care of it. Goodbye, everybody.
So long, Corny. See you Monday. Oh, my. What a character. Oh, my. Who are you?
What's your name? Mrs. Gray of Los Angeles.
Fine, Mrs. Gray. Will you draw a number out of the basket, please? We'll award our wishing ring. All righty. Here it is. It's 93622. 93622. Goody, come on out here. Well, meanwhile, ladies, remember, keep saving used fat. More fat means more refrigerators, more radios, more soap. Everybody saves used fat every day. Good morning, and who are you?
This is Lionel Hopkins from Victoria, B.C.
From Victoria, British Columbia.
Yes.
Well, nice. I don't believe we've ever had a winner from B.C. How nice. And tell me, is your first trip to California?
No,
I've been here twice. Miss Hopkins, you say?
Mrs.
Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Been here before.
Yes, twice.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, Mrs. Hopkins, do you go to the movies?
Yes, I do.
Do you? We're just kind of talking about our picture this morning. You're a little anxious to see it, are you?
Yes, I'd like to very much.
Huh? Mm-hmm. You'd like to see it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be playing at your neighborhood theater. You sure? You've heard this program, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Uh-huh. Well, look, here is your the wishing ring you want.
Oh, it's lovely.
Uh-huh. I want to put it on your finger, and I want you to make a wish. Let's put it on this. Now then, your wish, Miss Hopkins.
I'm staying with my brother and his family here in California.
Mm-hmm.
And I would very much like if they could see a movie picture.
A moving
being
picture?
Being on the set.
Oh, you'd like to go and visit the set?
Yes. Yeah.
What picture would you like to see being made, no doubt? Our picture is completed.
Hmm? Well, I really don't know.
Well, we'll see what we can do for you, Miss Hopkins.
Yes, that's right. I'll leave it with you.
All right. Please do.
I doubt if she'll ever get in. They'll never let me in. Good luck. Folks, I don't need to tell you that our late president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, did one of the greatest humanitarian acts of all time when he founded the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis. This year, for the first time, the March of Dimes must go on without him. Last year, we asked our listeners to send their dimes to us so that we could forward them to Mr. Roosevelt in the White House. And we sent him well in excess of 500,000 dimes, sent the actual dimes. This year, we hope to get 1,000,000 dimes to be given in his memory to carry on the fight against infantile paralysis. We are having placed in front of the Oriental Theater in Chicago a large model house, which is an exact copy of Mr. Roosevelt's home in Warm Springs, the little White House, as it was called. Now, the house is locked with a golden key, but we can put your dimes in through the chimney. And at the end of March of Dimes Drive, the house will be sent to President Truman, who will be given the golden key so that he may unlock the house and send the dimes on their way to fight the terrible disease. And after it has been emptied, the house will be sent to the children at Warm Springs, Georgia, to be used as a playhouse. Please do not send your dimes to Hollywood. Address them to me, Tom Brenneman, the Oriental Theater, Chicago, Illinois, and send all the dimes you can. Send them for each member of your family. Send all you can for every member of the family. And we'll turn your dollars into dimes and deposit them in the house. Help us reach that goal of 1,000,000 dimes, will you? And here's the address again. Send your dimes addressed to me, Tom Brenneman, the Oriental Theater, Chicago, Illinois. Certainly, it is a wonderful work. Well, that about concludes the first portion of Breakfast in Hollywood, brought to you by Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes.
Ivory Flakes, twice the world. Ivory Flakes, twice the world.
This next portion of our little broadcast brings you greetings from the grand old Kellogg Company of Battle Creek. Kellogg's, makers of pep. Oh, so good. Now we're going to award our orchid. We do each morning to our eldest guest, and I'd like to have a little bid.
29.
Sister, you look like you're the oldest, too. Not awful. Come on, let's have a bid here now. 81. 81. 84. 86. Active market again this morning. 86. Is that the winner? And so it is. 86, always way back in the corner. Here she is. Morning. And who are you? What's your name?
Sarah Van Horn.
Come on, Miss Van Horn. Now watch the step there, will you? Sarah E. Van Horn. Where do you live, Miss Van Horn? In Highland Park, California. Come on out and meet the ladies. Sarah E. Van Horn from Highland Park. She's 86. When were you 86, Miss Van Horn?
16th of last September.
The 16th of last September. You certainly do not look 86.
Well, I am. I'm born in 59.
Oh, I believe you. Yes, sir. And tell me, how long have you lived in Highland Park?
Oh, about 8 years. Mm-hmm. I lived in Los Angeles
is 21.
Yes. Where were you from originally, Mrs. Van Horn?
Oh, about 28 different states.
Oh. Well, we'll start at the beginning then. Where were you born? Where were you born?
I was born in New Moorfield, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. And you lived in Ohio a number of years, did you?
No, not very long. My mother passed away at that time when I was 5 years old. And my father went to Pennsylvania. And I'm the granddaughter of the governor of New Sweden.
Of New Sweden? Mm-hmm. And New Sweden was where?
About 30 miles from Stockholm.
From Stockholm? My golly, that's quite a background, eh?
I mean a great-granddaughter.
You're a great-granddaughter, yes. Now, Miss Van Horn, tell me, where were you married? What was your maiden name?
My name was Prince.
Prince. Mm-hmm. And where were you married?
In Reading, Pennsylvania.
That's where you met Mr. Van Horn?
No.
No.
I was married before.
Oh. I see. Well, where'd you meet Mr. Van Horn?
In Kansas.
In Kansas. You say you lived in about 28 different states.
Yes, a short time.
Mm-hmm.
But I lived mostly in Louisville, Kentucky.
In Louisville, Kentucky.
My first husband was a businessman.
There. Miss Van Horn, did you raise a family?
I did.
How many?
5 children.
Oh, yes. That's a nice family.
How many? Three living.
You have grandchildren?
About 5.
About 5. Great-grandchildren?
2.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're a very active woman for 86 years.
Well, I'm considered very active, and I'm a follower of the Lindlar diet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Lindlar diet.
Yes.
Well, that's some special diet, is it?
Well, it's not called a diet exactly.
It has to do with cereal, doesn't it, Zion?
No, no, with the... minerals and vitamins.
Minerals and vitamins. Well, Kellogg's Pep is full of them.
Yes.
I'll tell you about that in just a moment, too.
I know in its place, but you can't live off of that, Charlie.
Well, wait a minute. There's plenty of vitamins in Kellogg's Pep, Mrs.
I know,
Van.
That's all right.
Uh-huh. And if you want to chew on a hunk of iron once in a while, that's all right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's evidently done you well. Mm-hmm.
I know it has because I've studied it and I can teach it, too.
Yes, you can teach it. Oh, I see you're looking for clients, are you, Mrs. Van Horn?
Not exactly. I'm too old now for that.
Yeah. I just wondered how you wouldn't object if we say something a little about Kellogg's Pep on the program.
You can say all you want.
Yeah, they pay for it, you see.
Yeah, they do.
You're all right, honey. Look what I have for you.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's
Buster's
beautiful.
3. Those are the Armroy orchids, Mrs.
Yes,
Van Horn.
Yes, I know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Seen them before.
Yeah, well, there's one tree. There's a 3 of them in fact. Oh, nice cluster for you.
Thank you very much.
For Mrs. Van Horn. Thank you very much. And you certainly are all right, Miss Van Horn.
I know I am.
You betcha. Good luck to her. Miss Van Horn, I'm going to talk about Kellogg's Pep now. Yeah, let's dip into the sunshine department for a fact or two, shall we? Did you know that it takes sunlight over 8 minutes to travel to the earth? And in winter, of course, most of the sunlight, takes a detour to southern parts, leaving us on the cold side and leaving our youngsters kind of short of their sunshine ration for developing strong bones and teeth. But thanks to Kellogg's Pep, they can help make up this lack of effect on sunshine. For this crisp, golden whole wheat cereal is rich in sunshine vitamin D. So rich, in fact, that just a 1 ounce serving of Pep every day provides their entire daily minimum need, giving them this grand benefit of sunshine in building sturdy bones. And on top of that, Pep also brings you twice as much vitamin B1 an energy vitamin, as you get in whole wheat itself. You see, the grand old Kellogg Company adds these two important vitamins to the well-known food values already present in whole wheat, so that Pep is an all-round ideal cereal for these chilly winter days. And believe me, just one taste of these fresh, snappy, sunny flakes, and you'll have a cheering section for Pep right at your own table. Today, ask your grocer for a package of Kellogg's Pep and enjoy a sunny side of breakfast. Hello, Fred, how are you? I see a fellow sitting over here. Introduce yourself, will you please? Who are you?
Tom, I'm Fred Sammons, the editor of Radio Mirror Magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know that. And, you know, there's no editor going to get up at any 6 o'clock in the morning to come to a radio broadcast unless you have something to plug. What is it?
You're right, Tom. I want all of you here and all of your listeners to know about the new issue of Radio Mirror. It's out on the newsstands today because it has a big story with lots of pictures in it about you and your broadcast here and that new picture that you've been talking about.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, wait, let's pull up here. You go right ahead, Freddie. We have all the time in the world.
Well, I think that after you read the story in the magazine, everyone will want to see your picture. They'll certainly want to come to the broadcast if they haven't already seen it. And I repeat that it is Radio Mirror Magazine.
On sale today at all newsstands. All right. We'll look forward to that. All right, Freddie. Then, incidentally, at this time, we want to pause to salute the men who won the victory. Let's pay tribute to the 205th hospital ship complement of the USS Comfort, typical of the Mercy ships which saved thousands of American wounded in the Pacific. The 205th was cited by Admiral Nimitz for bravery during a murderous attack by a Jap plane at Okinawa. To them and to all such hospital ships, we say thanks for victory. Hey, speaking of breakfast in Hollywood parties, we have a few of them, too. We'd like to kind of send a cheer along to folks in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and in North Coventry Township, Pennsylvania, tomorrow in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They're having little replicas of our broadcast. We hope you have a lot of fun, folks. Here's a cheer from the home base.
Waterloo, New York, Harold Pratt, Coxon.
Good.
Lowell, Massachusetts, Siemens First Class, Paul St. Arnold.
Thank you.
Kansas City, Missouri, Tech Sergeant Norton.
Mm-hmm.
Corning, New York, Jack Smith, Machinist Second.
Thank you, Jack.
Grantsville, West Virginia, Chief Machinist Mate Hickman.
Mm-hmm.
Washingtonville, Pennsylvania, Sergeant Frank Connor.
Fine, and mate?
Lionsville, Pennsylvania, Seaman Second, Jack Gearing.
Good, Jack. That's quite a stretch we had there. Uh-huh. All right. I think we have time to award our beauty kit this morning. We have our famous DuBerry beauty kit we're going to give away. Where are you from, mate? From Detroit three times. What's your name? What is it? Candler. Your first name? Sandy Candler from Detroit. Way back in the corner there, we almost had a mission. Will you draw a number, please? We'll award our... get out your songs, too, folks. I'm afraid we're going to have to get off the network in just a moment. But the winner of the DuBerry Beauty Kit is 93943. 93943. Good. Who are you way back there? Huh? What's her name? What is it? Nellie Kewen from Detroit. Congratulations. Well, folks, we have some other awards. We have some lovely roses from Cedric's and other things to give away. But right now, I'm afraid we're going to have to get off this here now network. So out with your songs. Hate to break it up, but that's all there is. Come on. And that ends our Hollywood breakfast. We had a most wonderful time.
That's about all we have time for today, friends. But be sure to tune in again Monday for more fun with our guests here in Tom Brenneman's restaurant. This is John Nelson now turning the mic back to your host, Tom Brenneman.
Join with us now as we sing our song. Sing it loud, make it big.
will remember, won't you, get your dimes and dollars into the mail over the weekend. Do not send them to Hollywood. Send them to me, Tom Brenneman, the Oriental Theater in Chicago, Illinois. Let's fill the little White House to overflowing this year and fight infantile paralysis. Well, that's all for now. Good luck to our nation and to Americans all over the world. Till Monday, then. Goodbye, all.
Tom Brenneman's Breakfast in Hollywood is brought to you at the same time every day, Monday through Friday, by Kellogg's, Pep, and Procter & Gamble's Irish Oats. Stay tuned for Kellogg's Home Edition. We'll overdose at the same station immediately following the next announcement.
Ladies, there's one whole wheat breakfast cereal that's distinctive in form and flavor. Kellogg's Crumbles. There's nothing like them. You see, these are twisted shreds of finest wheat, toasted to crisp, crunchy perfection, and flavored by Kellogg's own special recipe, so they're hearty and mellow rich, just right. Of course, you know that whole wheat is famous for nutrition, so tomorrow, try a breakfast dish that's out of the ordinary. There's only one, Kellogg's Crumbles. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company. There's only one, Kellogg's Crumbles. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.